Many of us, when we know Pastor John Hadley and Nancy, when we know Pastor Tom Sliva and Bev, and many others that are here amongst us that have been through trials, we sometimes wonder, how can they do it? We sometimes wonder, where is the resource? As Pastor Shabelli prayed, we have a resource for every situation. Even if the mountains would be removed, or our health would deteriorate, or we would lose a loved one, there is a way in the wilderness. There is our living God, and we make the effort to pay attention to what he has to say to us. So this morning, just by way of a review and then going on in the theme, I'd like you to read 29, verse 11. This was our key verse this morning. One man, after the 9 o'clock sermon, he was in the cafe. He said, I just bought 5 CDs of that message, and I'm going to give them out to my neighbors. And he does it on a regular basis. And I said, thank you, Gary. Appreciate that. Verse 11. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. What does he keep it in? He keeps it in. I have a commentary here, just a paragraph. A fool utters all his mind. In the Hebrew, it is spirit. He rashly babbles out whatever is in his mind. In the morning, we mentioned Facebook as an application of that. When people just say whatever without any regard, without any filter, and they may be angry or emotional or foolish, and we all have done that. Not on Facebook necessarily, but we know what that is. And then, it says here, he speaks without regard to persons, place, or time. But a wise man keeps it in until afterwards. In the commentary, until a suitable time and place be presented. It's translated by one translator, backwards, makes his feelings when pressing forward for utterance to go back to the former receptacle. A fool's words are in the very front of his mind, and the gate is always open for their going forth. The wise man's words are further in the back, interior recess of his mind. Using that, this morning, we spoke about Joseph and Mary. Turn there with me, please, to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 19. Mary was pregnant with Christ by the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, we were saying this morning that he really had a problem there. Because his girlfriend, who he was betrothed to, which technically was his wife, because when the engagement happens, then there isn't sex, but there is a binding contract, an agreement that you are my wife. But we are not yet at that place in the process. And then he finds out that she is pregnant. That would lend itself to a lot of talking. He could tell his relatives, he could tell his friends, he could go to the cafe, he could go to the bar room. He could talk. He could put it on Facebook. He could uncover his girlfriend. He could say, that's it, I'm done, I'm finished. I'm not interested. I can't believe this happened. Who is the guy? Of course, who is the guy? And we said that between talking like that and what God wants to do is a very important principle. And we could say the Hadleys, the Slevas, we could say everybody in this room, everybody with a family problem, everybody with a financial problem, everybody with a health problem, everybody with difficulties in a practical way, we all have a lot that we could talk about. But there is a receptacle we have now. We have something we never had before. There is a place where God speaks to us, where there is the ministry that is effective, where God is able to say, I know what you're thinking, Joseph, but are you ready to hear what I have to say about it? And sometimes we rush to judgment, or we rush to solve the problem, or we rush to talk about it. So the story goes in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, I can't believe it, he says to himself. What is going on? I cannot digest this. What is going on? I believe he was humble, because I cannot believe that God would speak to anybody other than somebody that is broken, humble, and seeking. That is why Christ said, when Martha was so busy and so active, and I believe that in the ministry we can be very much distracted and also very noisy regarding the ministry. But Martha has chosen the good thing. She sat at Christ's feet. I'd like to make an application to this message by speaking about our past. When we went to meetings like this up in Maine 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I really believe that there was an impartation into our receptacle. Back. Not in the front of the mind where your tongue is ready to speak whatever is in the front of your mind. But there's a receptacle back like Joseph in this piece of scripture when God spoke to him and said something very important in his life. Very important. This is what happened. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Well, I've never had an angel appear to me. I've never had a dream where I woke up and I said that dream was from God. I can't say that that has ever happened to me. But God did give me a pastor teacher. And from these pages, words came into my receptacle. And I received something that is not from the earth, not from the world, not from my own heart, not from my own understanding, not from my ideas and my opinions. But like Martha sitting at the feet of Christ, Christ said, Martha, what you are receiving will never be taken away from you. It will be used as a reference in your future. I am ministering to you. But not by angels and by dreams, and we know that that happened in the book of Acts. There were a number of times that angels and men had dreams, but now we have the Bible and the complete canon of the scripture. We have pastor teachers, and we have our own life with God, our walk. And humility is a part of this impartation that is happening now with us. So, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared on him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife. I could just imagine before the dream, he's thinking, what am I going to do with this woman? How could this be? What happened? What's going on? But now comes the release. I really think he could have danced on a table when he woke up and he understood that God wanted him to take Mary to be his wife and to take care of her. And not necessarily to propagate the story, but keep it in until afterwards. And I think that happened to Greater Grace too. All that we received through years of Bible teaching, it was called upon when we had our trials and when we had our difficulties. And there's a number of short list here I have here of just times when you really need it. There's a time when I really need this receptacle. Turn to Malachi 3, please, with me, 16. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened. You know what kind of talking that was? They talked often. But it wasn't the fool uttering all his mind. That's easy to find. That's very common in our society. It is really everywhere, and it's even in the church. But this is another kind of talking in verse 16. It says, they feared the Lord. It is a wisdom that comes from fearing God, walking humbly with God. It's a wisdom that is from above. It's a wisdom where we say, Lord, not our will, but your will be done, and we really need what you have to say to us. I think that is why we draw near, why we get definition, why we survive in our trials. There is no question about it. John 6, they fed the multitude, and within the same chapter, they were in a stormy sea, afraid that they were going to die. They went from one amazing, memorable time of feeding 5,000 people to darkness, wind, water, and fear in the same time span. We know this. But it doesn't mean that we don't have a receptacle. Even if we fear, we don't fear as others who have no hope. Even if we are confused, it's not like others who are utterly in despair. Even if we are afraid, it's not as though we fear like other people, because God has imparted things to us. In verse 16, it says, we speak often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. In Pastor Chevelli's prayer tonight, I honestly believe those prayers, don't you? Pastor Colban's prayer for Federal Hill. Pastor Love is starting the Laurel Church. We will have a church in Laurel, Maryland, by God's grace in the spring. We'll have another church in Wilmington, Delaware, by God's grace. Because we live by faith, we speak often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. In a book of remembrance was written before him. For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Have you noticed we're thinking more and more on God's name? Have you noticed we are singing more and more passionately about his name? Have you noticed you're depending more and more upon his name? Have you realized that you realize we're growing and we're realizing more and more how unable we are and paradoxically how able we are? And it is written in God's book. It will not be taken from us. The receptacle that God has built in us goes like this. Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, that receptacle of yours, you will be filled. You'll have an orientation. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You'll proclaim my name with authority. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And we are sure that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he's finished, when it's all over with on that day, when he lied down to sleep, he could not believe that he was the same man that had denied Christ three times, is now the very man that is leading the church. Because the receptacle, the foundation of the house, is not shaken. It is fed. How? In regular teaching, we'll finish up here, regular teaching by the pulpit ministry, by your own Bible study, in your own personal life. Number two, it is filled. God speaks to you in trials. Like Joseph saying, my girlfriend, my wife, how could she do this to me? What is going on? What is the answer to this? I have to put her away. I don't want to shame her. I actually love her, but I cannot believe this happened to me. How could this be? Then comes God. The answer. Joseph is saying, yes, I take her. She is my wife. I do not understand, but I will keep this in me until afterwards. I will have it in the back of my mind. Every conversation I have, I know I will have it in the back of my mind. Everything that I do, I know I will have it in the back of my mind, in my heart. Everything that happens, I'll process it. It'll be back in my mind. I don't have to talk about it like a fool spills all. It says everything he's feeling, all of his emotion, all of his ideas, all of his opinions. No, Joseph could be quiet because he's got something. I talked to a believer yesterday. They told me about the trouble at work. The boss said, you know, we don't talk about God in this company. She said, well, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I believe in God. He said, don't ever talk about God in this place. Never. Well, that's the world you may live in, but that's all right. Because I come here, I get fed. I come here, I get loved. I come here, I get edified. I know what is in the back of my mind. I know when I can say it, when it is appropriate. I know how I want to live. I know God will lead me and guide me in my life. I'm not threatened by an atheist or an unbeliever. I'm not afraid of the world. I got something that is very precious to me, that is filling the chambers of the house, that is building me up. And we talk often one to another about his name. And it is furthermore, it is recorded. It'll last forever. It'll not pass away, but the foolishness will. Another time when the receptacle is receiving is in Bible school. Later, you will use it many times in the ministry, as you can see with these great men over here and the men that are sitting here and the women that are here, the women's work. It is amazing how what we learned decades ago, just in a moment, it may resurface. And we say, that's it, that's it, that's from God. That's a word of wisdom. That's it, that's faith. That's it, that's how the ministry goes. That's not the flesh, that's faith. That's the Spirit of God. There it is, that's mercy. That's what grace is, that's what it is. That saves a soul. We have Tony over here, an amazing brother from the streets of Baltimore who's just a disciple and following Christ, and James Bryson, who has an amazing testimony. I asked Pastor Chris Moore when we were in Wilmington. He drove down from Philly. I said, how many people's lives have been changed in Philadelphia in your church? And he went through like seven names. I go, thank you, God. He learned it in Bible school, in the church. God is using him. I don't think he uses fools. What do you think? I don't think God uses fools that say all their mind, that say anything they want to, that just unload the garbage, just say whatever. I don't think God is interested in that. Those that fear me, those that receive from me, those that are being prepared by me, they have a word or a nature or a disposition. Maybe it is quiet, but they will speak afterwards. The right time, it'll come out a couple of years later. And you hear it, you go, wow, where'd that come from? Oh, that's been in me a long time. That's been cooking in me for a long time. That's what I've been thinking about for years. What have you been thinking about for years? I cannot make it unless I have the next one, devotional life in my bedchamber. A devotional life where you bow down before this book and you read it in faith. You say, God, give me a word in season. It's like a building block. I need the words in a personal way. I need to listen to a message and meditate as I listen. I need to take a notebook and write down some things. I need to exercise myself in that receptacle that is in every one of us. And it is some powerful. Paul said, I kept a secret for 14 years in 2 Corinthians 12. I went to heaven 14 years ago, and I haven't told anybody until now. Guys, it's back. It's not up front like I need to say it. It's back there cooking. It's there in my heart. It's what gives me peace at night. It's my focal point, my concentration. It helps me live my life. And then the last thing, you know what? Between the brethren here, it can get messy. Turn to your neighbor and say that to them. Boy, it can get messy. It can. Church life can be messy. Actually, church life might be the very place, the last place I want to go. People have problems at work, they have problems at home, and the last place they want to go to is a church where they have problems in the church. About 10 years ago, we had plenty of it here. But there were people with a receptacle. There are people that said, no, I'm not talking like that. There are people that are saying, I want to follow Christ. Where is Christ? There are people that are saying, I want to hear what does God have to say. There are people that are saying, I want a vision. I want a mission. I want to follow Jesus. Where is the Holy Spirit? And where is the Holy Spirit in the midst of the brethren? Well, church life can be messy, but you have to learn. Like Joseph, I can't believe it. What happened? My girlfriend, my wife, I can't believe it. I could say a lot about it. I could just spill the beans. I could just go yapping all the way up and down the streets. I could tell everybody about her. I didn't impregnate her. I don't know who did. Who did? Joseph could have said. Now comes the lesson. When God gives you, when the Spirit shows you, when this book becomes alive to you, Great peace have they that love your word, nothing will offend them. There is a resource that is way, now it's cooking in the back of my mind. I don't have to say anything. I got peace because I got it from God. God is ministering, leading, guiding. I read something recently, just shortly here. When Elijah ran from Queen Jezebel, 1 Kings 19, he had a servant with him. And it says, when he came to Beersheba, the servant stayed. It's kind of like there was a servant that said, okay, you're going south, I'm staying here. So that servant, his name is not given, nothing is heard about him. He put a limit. He said, I'm done, I'm not going any further south, bye-bye Elijah. Well, you know the rest of the story. Elijah found another man who said, I will go with you wherever you go. I will follow you. You cannot get rid of me. I'll stick to you like white on rice. I'll stick to you like super duct tape, gorilla tape. I will stick to you. You cannot get rid of me. Wherever you go, I will go. And that kind of man, that kind of woman is like Joseph in our story, who has something going on, and God is able to say to him, I will be your peace, Joseph. I will guide you in wisdom. I will show you another way. You be quiet about your self-life. Don't even talk about it. I'll take care of Mary. I will take care of you. I will take care of Jesus, the Savior of the world. And you keep it in until afterwards. What a story. If God is in you, if God is speaking to you, if you could be a thief and become a great man of God. You could be a liar. You could be a bad guy. You could be a miserable person. You're no different from any of us in here. The only difference is that we've got a receptacle, and so do you. And you need it to be fed, you need to be filled, you need to be guided, and you need what happened to Joseph to happen to you and say, yeah, God is taking care of it, we can do this. Maybe, like with the Hadley family and the Sleva family, and the Karen family, and the LaFlame family, and many others that have been hurt, like the things that we fear would happen to these dear people, and somehow they shine in our presence, they have peace in our presence, they have a ministry in our presence, and we are jealous for what it is that they have and what God has given them. And there may be a Ruth who's like a Moabitess, and she's a nobody, a little pretty little girl from Moab who becomes a relative of Christ, and Rahab the harlot, and many other stories can be told. And God is saying, you know what, all you people, you're nuts, all of you. I can't trust any of you. You got character. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I can't trust you for anything. You're liars, deceivers. Poison is under your lips. Your throat is an open sepulcher. I can smell the dead bones coming out of your throat. But you know what? I love you. I gave you my son. He makes a difference, not just once in your life, but a way of life. He fills the receptacle. He answers our prayer. He changes our life, and he leads us in a new way. That's what we glory in. Peter and to the disciples. Disciples, later I'll bring back to your mind everything I've spoken. You will write the scriptures. I will do it. Peter, when you're converted, I will use you. What a story. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Lord. I would like the week, Lord, we could pray this, that this week this would be somehow multidimensional in our lives. We would actually wake up in the morning and God would say to us things that are personal. That somehow this message would be so practical with an application and answers, Lord, show us what this means. We have survived many trials as a church. Very possible we would not even be here tonight. This property would be sold off. The church, Greater Grace, would not be heard of again. It'd be over. We'd all be gone in our separate ways. But we can't go. It's too precious. We can't go. We believe what we have heard. We can't go. It's in the back of our mind, cooking. It's deep in our heart. It's something we talk about, something we love, and it's having an impact with the people that come in contact with us. Blessed the working place. Blessed the families. Blessed the women's ministry. Blessed the staff. Blessed the Langes. Pastor Brian comes this Wednesday. Be great to see him and Paula. Blessed with our servants everywhere. Blessed with every mom, every dad, the GGCA students, Lord. In Christ's name and all the unanswered, unspoken prayers today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're here, you don't have Christ, please say, Christ, I receive you, I believe you, in Jesus' name. Please say that prayer. Let me take this time to introduce one new brother to us, the brother from Afghanistan. He could just raise his hand. Khalil, I think. Khalil, I just want to introduce you to everybody. Here is Khalil. This is amazing. He was with us some months ago. He sat here. He listened. He was very interested. He moved away and he said, I got to go back. I got to be in that church. I got to go back. And this morning he came and he raised his hand for Christ to come into his heart. And that's beautiful. You're accepting Christ, would you raise your hand, please? If you're accepting Christ, anyone here, raise your hand. Okay, amen.